Hello, and welcome to Dice Masters United. I'm Spug.
I'm Ben.
I'm James.
And I'm Peter.
Coming up in this episode...
After a huge dump of Kryptonite Crisis cards was posted on the internet, we're delving into some of the most interesting prospects.
There's also been a surprise sneak peek at some Secret Wars content, so we'll be picking over the bones and trying to work out what the future holds.
All that, and more, in the latest episode of Dice Masters United.
Yes, we are back, slightly belated this time for, well, a variety of very dull technical reasons. And we're also testing out a new system, which kind of might mean that we're going to be a slightly shorter than usual this time around, because we're just all crossing our fingers and hoping that something horrible doesn't go wrong with the rats down the drain pipe and all that sort of stuff. So keep the gremlins away and just hope that we can get through this without any technical issues, because we've been messing around for this for a little while. We've had a failed recording attempt and all kinds of boring stuff that you don't care about. But we're going to be getting into some Kryptonite Crisis spoilers, if we can call them spoilers, really, because obviously, as you may know, there's been a bunch of Kryptonite Crisis cards have actually hit the streets after what appears to be a distributor error, and some people have got their hands on them, and somebody has been kind enough to post a whole bunch of cards on a
Reddit. Enough or malicious enough.
maybe but they're just showing what they can see.
I guess so.
What can they do? And so James has gone through the pictures, and my word, he has excelled himself by grabbing each of the individual images and putting them up on our DM United spoiler gallery, the most complete set of spoilers you will find anywhere on the internet. Do go to DM United if you want to catch them up. But we're just going to be picking over a few of these and talking about some of the more interesting ones. So, guys, where do we want to start? We're looking at Doomsday, aren't we, first? I think, if I recall correctly. Who wants to give us a little peek at Doomsday?
I'll tell you what Doomsday says. Which one do you want?
Common.
Oh, it's the common.
Common. At the beginning of the game, choose a character die's name. Those are always good. When fielded, KO target character die with the chosen name. And it has a global pay a bolt. Target character die must attack this turn. So force attack. Yes, nice picture. Yes. And it's called Unimaginable Bloodlust. And it's a four cost bolt with a villain affiliation.
And beefy stats, let's not forget.
Yes, standard stats, nice.
Yeah, they're very beefy. And Ben, I think you were getting interested in this card, weren't you?
I really like the... we've seen it a couple of times, I think. Is it the Moon Knight from Infinity Gauntlet and the Deadpool from the Dark Phoenix saga, where you choose a character before the game even begins? So I kind of like that as a concept. And then basically this is just... Choose one of your opponents while active characters. You can basically always clear it.
Yeah.
While also getting a monster dude out. And then also the bolt force attack global is really good anyway.
Yeah.
Mm. Yep.
We have Scott Hall right now, which is the four cost with the force attack, which I use quite often. And the ability on that is not bad. I think I'd much rather have this as a removal option.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I think very good.
I think it's pretty cool. And because he's got these 0, 4, 3, 1, 5, 5, 2, 7, 7, which is obviously very nice for a four cost.
Really, really solid card. If you want the force attack, which is good removal anyway, and then you have just an extra bit. I mean, this is all your removal needs on a really aggro team.
Yeah, because, I mean, he can remove anything you want. Presumably you could you choose... A Godcatcher, for example, would that count?
You have to choose a character card, no? No, choose a character die.
A character die. So does
how
that
do you
mean
target a character die that's not even in the field yet?
Well, it's a character die's name.
Oh, Peter!
It says choose a character die's name.
His name. Yeah.
Yeah.
A Godcatcher token is a die's name.
Is it a die's name? Yeah. Can you choose one of your own as well?
I guess yeah, why not? Doesn't say it's opposing.
But then, okay, so then if you both have, so let's say, I don't know, Drax. If you have a Drax, you want to name Drax for this Doomsday. If you choose, I don't know why you want to carry your own Drax, but if you choose Drax, you have to specify whether it's yours or your opponent's, right?
Yes.
But it's only, yeah, it's not all of them anyway, so you just pick one which has that name.
Yeah. Yeah, but if your opponent doesn't have his active yet, you would have to be forced to KO your own Drax, maybe.
Yeah.
Should we move on to some other cards? General Zod was the next one that people were interested in talking about, if I remember correctly.
Yeah. I'll take this one, the rare.
Yeah.
General Zod, reimagining Jekyll. 6-cost bolt with a villain affiliation. While General Zod is active, your psychic dice get +2 attack and count as bolt character dice in addition to being psychic character dice. Pretty crazy. I mean, it's really nice. They always do a good job in DC of making villains a very strong affiliation, I feel like.
Mm-hmm.
That's always the thing. And now bolt synergies on one of my favorite cards with the Jubilee, which does damage for each bolt character that attacks.
Yeah.
It's suddenly very interesting with this. I don't know if it's a win more card, but even if it was just while active, your psychic dice get +2 attack would be pretty good.
And
then there's the kind of interesting addition of the making them bolt characters.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, and like you say, with that, with the synergy with the Jubilee that deals damage every time she attacks with another bolt character, obviously if you can translate that into psychics and you've got a bit of Mr. Sinister Global going on where you're creating psychics.
Yep.
Here, there, and
there's also the Jubilee that does damage every time a bolt character dies fielded, right?
Yeah.
So you suddenly make your psychics that you're making it into the old super rare Jubilee from X-Men First Class.
Yeah.
So pretty cool.
Are they bolts when they're not fielded?
Yeah, because
I suppose they are once.
They enter the field as a bolt character.
Ah, so they're not bolts in your bag, but the check happens after they're fielded anyway.
Yeah.
Well, we're not 100% sure about that one if they're bolts in other zones, but it says
they're not
to being dice. Sidekick character dice. So let's assume they're only in your reserve and field.
Yeah, they're not character dice until they're in the
Until they rolled.
But no, I like it. I don't know if it's going to be too expensive at the 6-cost. I mean, at 4-cost, the stats would be too much probably. 5/5, 6/6, 7/7. Although it's a 1/2/3 fielding, which is expensive.
Yeah.
But
Becky has better stats.
Yeah. But the ability wise, it might be worth it. It's going to be very interesting. People will for sure be building teams around it, whether it makes it to ultra competitive, maybe not, but it'll be really good in all other kind of fun formats, and I'm sure you'll see it online and in person kind of casual games.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I think, very you have the, and obviously it has the natural synergy with the Dark Phoenix Global, doesn't it? Of course, we talk about it a lot, but obviously that's a bolt and that reduces the cost. Of the next thing you buy by 2. So bolts are...
Are there any good villain reducers?
Villain reducers?
Stuff that makes villains cheaper. Or works particularly well with villain ramp. There's some stuff from what's the DC set before this one? Batman, whatever it's called. Justice, thank you. Yeah, yes, blimey. Justice. There's some villain stuff in that, right? Yes, maybe you'll see a villain team come out of this, and that could be because just giving your psychics +2 attack would be very good.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, so he looks like a lot of fun. And then we also wanted to talk about the super rare Harley Quinn, if I remember correctly. Obviously, we've talked extensively about the common Harley Quinn, which was revealed. Well, we think it's the full art. We think it's the common Harley Quinn, don't we? The full art one.
Yeah, we've seen all the rest of them.
It has to be.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah,
unless there's a new type of rarity, which is
ultra rare.
Yeah,
ultra rare.
Flipping rare.
not very common, or something. I don't know. But But this one is the super rare, which is the 5-cost mask, and it says while Harley Quinn is active, this is another sidekick buffer. Your sidekick dies get +1 AM, +1 D, and when fielded, deal 2 damage to character target character die. Which sounds pretty fun. And obviously, it's another mask. You know, it's Oscar fodder if you want a cost reduction on this 5-cost. Peter, what do you reckon of this Harley Quinn?
Yeah, it's nice. It's a buff and removal in one for your sidekicks. It's a mask character, so you can discount that. Seems like fun. I could definitely see myself playing around with this.
I'd
sooner have this than the Zod, personally. It's cheaper.
Would you? Yeah.
Easier to maybe field.
Yeah.
I like that set. I mean, I think the +1/+1 we've seen lots of times before, so that's not particularly exciting.
Mm.
But the when fielded, deal 2 damage to target character dice, like a whole bunch of that is pretty interesting.
Mm.
Yeah. Don't know. I mean, also, you can now do that in the. It's another way. I'm just thinking for my own kind of Iceman team and Peter's Iceman team. You can make a sidekick in your attack step. And your opponent's attack step, and then deal 2 damage.
Yeah.
I mean, with Miss Sinister, I mean, it suddenly becomes removal on your opponent's turn. In at least you could deal 4 damage pretty easily with Miss Sinister Global Way of Fielding. You can probably field at least 2 psychics pretty easily.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And reliably. Yeah, interesting. I don't know if it's worth the 5.
No. But then it's more masks. I mean, it'll be interesting to see what happens. Yeah, obviously the one with Oscar, but obviously there's also the kind of tension between this and the 1-cost Harley Quinn, which is going to be used so much, isn't it? Not least for Clayface fodder.
Yeah, with Clayface,
I think this super rare Harley Quinn is pretty good. Ben Hawk, the uncommon Hawk girl, I think, was next on our little list, wasn't it?
Yes, it is. Fierce Warrior, 3-cost mask. Justice League affiliation. Very good for Green Lantern, as well as the 2-cost version of Hawk Girl. But this one, anyway, uncommon. Hawk Girl gets +1 attack for each opposing character die in the field zone. We've seen similar things like this with the Red Hood and the Guy Gardner, although that's your characters rather than your opposing characters. But Hawk Girl can get pretty beefy, pretty fast. Yeah. She's already pretty decent. 0-2-2-1-3-3-1-4-4. That top level especially. Very, very, very good in draft, probably.
Yeah.
I do worry that I don't like relying on my opponent having stuff. And how are you going to get her through? You have to pair her with something like the Psylocke, which gives Overcrush.
Yeah.
Or the Mr. Sinister Go Global that gives Overcrush.
Yeah.
But yeah, I like it. I think it's interesting.
Yeah, it's good. I mean, you know, obviously we've already talked about the fact that we've got the ultimate buffer in the form of Bardi Allen, as he's been christened, for the 7-cost kind of return of the Bard ability that gives everything +1 AM, +1 D, according to how many other characters you have. Obviously, he's coming back as 7-cost in this set, which we've already talked about. So this Hawk Girl buff is much more specific, because obviously it just applies to her. But yeah, when you can give her Overcrush and the fact that she's only a 3-cost mask.
Did you just call her Hawk Girl? Hawk Girl.
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 I think you're right. Hawk Girl.
I'm from London, innit? So it's Hawkgirl.
Do your best Moon Knight impression.
I've been listening to Stephen, and I? Oh, Stephen. Stephen, you plonker.
Okay, anyway. The problem with this Hawkgirl, though, I suppose, is that every opposing character is going to have at least +1 defense.
Mm.
Otherwise, it wouldn't be in the field. So every buff you're giving her is negated, especially if you're doing something like Overcrush. I suppose you'd have to do something like under surveillance, where you're making her unblockable.
Mm.
Orbital strike.
Yeah.
It's a shame it's not when attacked, because then you could do it with the storm, that when you field, you can make
something. I can make her unblockable and then.
Yeah, less than whatever attack, she's unblockable. Yeah.
Very cool.
That'd be kind of a nice flying a ladies' knight combo, but yeah, it doesn't quite work.
Could be cool. Hawk girl is really, really quite good, we would say. go on then, James. You get the honour of reading super rare Jimmy Olsen then, if you're...
Jimmy Olsen. Shout out to Leprechaun on Discord for this, because this was actually posted in Discord. It's Jimmy Olsen, Knack for Trouble. He's a two-cost fist with a Super Friends affiliation. When Jimmy Olsen is KO'd, you can prep a non-Jimmy Olsen Super Friend die from your used pile. And it's got a global pay, a shield, the first character die you field this turn is free to field.
Yes.
As usual stats. I like the global. It's the Roboot Gulliman, whatever his name was.
Yes.
From WD-40.
Yes.
So that's handy for your, you know, your super. What were we complaining about earlier? The Zod was three to field on his top face, for example. Or other things which are like Master Mold, which is also a shield, which is expensive to field.
Sandman from Infinity Gauntlet, which was four to field.
No, that's Tombstone, isn't it?
Tombstone, sorry. Yes,
oh, yeah,
sorry.
Tombstone, yeah. Tombstone. Yeah.
And his abilities, all right, as well. Considering later on, we're going to talk about some cheap super friends with big stats.
Yeah. Should we hop straight to it?
Yeah, hop.
Supergirl. Supergirl is super a three-cost... Supergirl. Supergirl is a three-cost shield, and this is the common that we're talking about, and it says, while Supergirl is active, opposing sidekick dice get plus 1A and plus 1D, and she has a spin-up global, which is the fist, but her stats are insane. She is a 155, 277, 388 for a three-cost. Absolute bonkers. And that's why she's got that kind of rider on her, if you like, in the sense of having giving your opponent's sidekicks a bit of a buff. But it seems like she seems really good, and obviously she is a super friend, so she goes very nicely with Jimmy, because you know you could quite easily get Jimmy in the field, knock him out while you've got a super girl in the use pile, and then suddenly you can prep her.
And then field her for one shield next turn.
Exactly. Yeah.
I mean, the super friends tend to have quite high fielding, don't they?
Yeah.
So it's nice having that in tandem. I also like that it's a fist character, two cost, so you can bring it in Clayface to Kree Captain Global or something like that. And that seems like a natural fit, depending on your other super friends.
Yeah.
It's quite a good... It's also just a nicely cheap dice to field and stuff.
Yeah.
The Reboot Gleeman Global was interesting, but I don't think his other ability was good enough to kind of put it on lots of teams. I've tried on a couple of teams, but you end up like the Global maybe you use once.
Yeah.
But if you can use that Global in tandem with a character you might actually want to buy.
Yeah.
I like it a lot.
I like the art and all. Nice art on this guy.
Yeah.
I like that.
Good old Jimmy.
It is nice. And it's good to see Jimmy back, because we haven't had him, have we, since... I mean, he's been here... We've seen him once, haven't we? And that's just was it World's Finest?
Superman, Wonder World's Woman starter.
That's right. Yeah. It's good to see him
back.
He's
a nice little lad.
Isn't he a good lad? And... But Supergirl, we touched on. What are our thoughts on that? Because obviously that's potentially really interesting. The stats are mad. I mean, I'm sure Peter is already planning his Orbital Strike Supergirl team.
Indeed.
Just load up on Supergirl.
I mean, do we want to go into some of the newer new spoilers?
Go on.
Watch stats and that.
Go on.
Let's do it.
What was it? The Wolverine has a 087 stat line. We know that on the dice.
So it seems, yeah.
This is from the Secret Wars set. I don't know where it was from. Some pictures were sent to me via you guys.
Something appeared on Discord. Something had been shown on the WizKids website. It was obviously done in error, but not before somebody spotted it, because it was subsequently taken down, but somebody by that time had already downloaded and shared it on Discord. So there are a few images with the whole display packaging, and you can see some dice and cards on the side of there. And there are there's another image which shows how many 12 cards. So that's what we're talking about. I suppose I should put this on the website so you can actually see what we're talking about if you're not in the Discord. But I would definitely encourage you to join the Discord too. It's in the spoilers channel.
Yeah. Yes. So did you say this is from the Secret Wars set?
I'm not indeed. Sure. Well, I mean, everything we say about this has to be taken with a huge pinch of salt, because obviously things could change. We don't know what WizKids has in mind with this, but obviously there's some work got into it, so I'd be surprised if it's entirely fake, you know. yes, it's from Secret Wars, which is it scheduled? Is it slated for a release? Do you know? I think it was in solicits for some time.
It was for a while, wasn't it? Yeah.
it definitely was.
Who knows? So anyway, so this is pure speculation, I suppose.
It is, of course, yeah. I mean, they seem to have published, you know, a picture of the box, but also a selection of the cards. And the big news is really for Dice Masters players is the fact that they seem to be completely rebooting the card design in the sense that they are moving away from, if this is indeed what it's going to look like, and we don't even know whether this is finished product or what, but they've completely moved the dice around. They've got rid of the old the current system where exactly you've got the dice across the bottom, and instead they've just got the picture on the side of the three levels, but not including the kind of the energy type or anything like that there, because I guess you don't need it. Everybody knows how what the other sides of the dice look like. And then, you know, the art has changed totally. It looks much more modern. They've changed the font, and yeah, it's just very much a departure from what we've got used to for so long. I mean, they've tweaked the cards, haven't they, up until now, and we've gone a bit more sort of full art style in recent
sets. Well, especially I think the new OP kit and the Harley Quinn full art card kind of hints that they were going that way anyway.
Yes.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting anyway. Indeed. Secret Wars is slated for October, though it obviously doesn't have a day yet. So there you go. That's how it's done. It's the last one in solicits for 2022.
Oh, right. And it looks like, although you can't really tell, it looks like they might be putting out another starter set as part of this set, because pictured in the kind of leaked documents were an image of a draft pack feed, which is looked very similar to what we currently know. But then there, in the individual pictures of the cards, they also have a couple of basic action indicator cards, one saying pink, one saying black, which, you know, ordinarily you wouldn't get in a draft pack. So do we think it's fair to assume they're going to be bringing back starter sets?
Yeah. Jimmy once spoiled an image of a pink sidekick, didn't he?
Yeah.
Oh,
And it had that weird rounded corners, which makes me worry that the dice, probably not. It's probably just the graphics. Yeah, the graphics on the side of this box are the same.
3D render.
I quite like rounded dice. As long as they're not massive and chunky.
Well, that's my fear. But it's probably just how they're representing them. I can't imagine them changing all their dice molds.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, should we go back to my original point?
Go on, Ben.
We should, yes. let's get back to that from 10 minutes ago.
So Supergirl has really good stats, but are they good in comparison to a 087 Wolverine? Of course, we don't know the purchase cost of these dice.
No.
But also, is it a S.H.I.E.L.D. agent, 087? Is that what we think?
Yeah, that's weird.
It has the S.H.I.E.L.D. icon on it. I don't know if it's going to be a S.H.I.E.L.D. agent. But maybe it's
surely a S.H.I.E.L.D. agent can't be that expensive. And 087, I don't know. Stats are interesting now, because we've sort of gone to a point where they're all over the place, aren't they? There's some massive stats, and then weedy stats. And so, yeah, Supergirl, stat-wise, very good. Are you going to risk your opponent getting big sidekicks? Maybe. I really like the spin-up global on her.
Yeah. Yeah, you can get her straight to her 8-8 side without much trouble.
Yeah.
That's one of the problems in getting your opponent having them three or more defense on their sidekicks. When you have the uncommon Deathbird.
Yeah.
That's a good point. The one that damages your opponent if you KO a character with three or more defense.
Yeah, then you only have to, you know, give him one extra defense and you're good to go.
Mm.
That is interesting. Or if you want to keep your opponent's sidekicks alive for something Hellfire Gala. You know, they... What was that? The sidekick promo, you know, the sidekick night promo thing, which gave all sidekicks plus one defense.
Rigorous training.
Thank you. Yeah, some people used to use that in tandem with like Green Devil masks to ensure that they couldn't get rid of their sidekicks easily, because obviously if their sidekicks are plus defense, they can't be cleared by your sidekicks. So if they attack with a wall of sidekicks, you can block with your wall of sidekicks and they still keep their characters up. They're harder to get rid of.
Yeah. Yeah, that is a good point.
So it has potential for shenanigans.
Yes.
You're right. No, I like the look of that Supergirl. Monsieur Mala. Oh, uncommon and rare. Oh, Ben, I know you were interested in Monsieur Mala, the great big ape carrying a gun and a brain in a jar or something, wasn't it?
Yes, the Mr. Mala.
Classic DC.
that's Mr. Monkey to you. Yeah, Mr. He's an ape. I know. I really like both his uncommon and rares secondary ability. So let's go for the cheaper one, I think, probably, because I think the first abilities aren't much of a muchness. So 3-cost uncommon, brilliant scientist, 3-cost fist, villain. Monster Mala gets +2 attack while blocking. Okay, fine. And then his secondary text, which is more interesting, is while Monsieur Mala is active, at least one opposing character die must attack each turn.
Yes.
He has some okay stats, but the forcing, making your opponent have an attack step is very interesting, especially with the Emma Frost from Dark Phoenix set, which lets you reroll something. That's just a very simple thing to do.
Yeah.
But also thinking about stuff like Iceman, where you want to guarantee an attack step. Is interesting. I'm thinking about maybe stuff like Godcatcher, which wants to set up for a big swing with an unblockable Godcatcher. Maybe forcing that to attack might be useful, or a Becky when they don't have the tools to make it go. I know they're probably going to attack with them anyway, but forcing your opponent to do stuff they don't want to do is very good.
Yeah.
And a 3-cost that does that, I think, is pretty useful.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's he's pretty interesting, isn't he? The way things are at the moment, how does he relate to the old Toad? I'm just trying to think of the old Toad that used to make stuff attack.
Toad did damage on his burst faces to those things which did attack.
The other thing with Toad was you could choose as well which attacked.
Yes.
Whereas this one
depends
doesn't...
which rarity. There was the rare, I think, you chose, and then
rare chose one, and then the other one just everything had to attack, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, whereas this one gives your opponent the choice of which die attacks, which makes it less useful against like a Becky, where it's forcing one character to block. You can't force a secondary thing to attack.
But yes.
Yeah.
Interesting. Yeah. Guaranteeing an attack step global window on your opponent's turn is useful.
Yeah. Yeah. And is he actually carrying a brain in a jar? I mean, what is going on with that picture? He's got a gun.
Looks like it.
Those bullets also do not look like they fit that gun.
Answers on a postcard, please.
Yeah, to hello@dmunited, confused@dmunited.eu, I think.
I really like it. I think he's my favourite card that I've seen so far.
Good. Excellent, Ben. I like that.
I want to try that Emma Frost combo with him. I think that sounds very evil.
Yeah, so the Emma Frost that KOs a character.
Rerolls.
At the start.
Rerolls.
Apologies. She's the 5-cost from Dark Phoenix, isn't she, the rare? Mm-hmm. The start of your opponent's attack step, reroll. She's the uncommon. Sorry, reroll target character die they control. Yeah, so that could be pretty horrid. I think the only other one we really want to talk about was, well, Ben, this kind of comes back to you again, but it's the huge smash, a basic action card, because that has got the return, even if the huge smash basic action isn't quite the same as this previous card that we're talking about. The global is making a triumphant return, Ben, which I think you'll be pretty excited about. It says, huge smash is a 3-cost basic action card. It says deal 3 damage to target character. If you control a character die with a cost 5 or more, deal 3 damage to another target character die. But it's the global that we're here for, and it says global, pay 1 once per turn, draw a die from your bag, return it to your bag, or add it to your use pile. Now, Ben, why is this exciting?
So return of one of my favorite globals, create food and water. Mm-hmm. Just the way it teaches you, I think, a really good way. It's a very good teaching tool for churning dice, working out when to cycle through your bag, when to throw something back into your bag, when to put something in your use pile. Mm. It lets you reset your bag on your opponent's turn,
yeah,
which is very, very useful a lot of the time. Mm. It lets you kind of thin out sidekicks. It lets you put stuff into your use pile if you don't have anything there, for stuff like collector global potentially, or clayface global.
Yes.
So very interested to see how this will work in a non kind of mimic ramp world, where that was such a finely tuned kind of way of playing that in tandem with the mimic and the collector. Mm. Professor X global.
Yeah.
I don't know if it'll have the same kind of impact, but it's very interesting way of churning and working through your dice bag.
Yeah, yeah. Peter, are you a cake fan?
Yeah, I love cake.
Excellent. And what do you think of this global?
Yeah, it's cool because it can also work with like stuff like rush. Because if you have like a prep global and you grab your rush die, then you're sad. But now if you grab your rush die, you can put it back. But you could also take stuff out potentially. Mm. So that is nice for things like rush and what's the other one?
Swarm.
Yeah.
It's not as clean as kind of the prep globals, Atlas Wolverine global, Villainous Pack global, but actually can be much more effective because your opponent won't use it as well as you will a lot of the time.
Yeah.
And actually, should we perhaps mention that, for those who don't know, and I'm sure you know, but Mimic Ramp involved fielding a sidekick with either the Professor X at that time global, or the equivalent now would be the collector global, fielding a sidekick from your use pile, which would then trigger Mimic's ability, who every time you fielded a character that he previously copied, I think you get to draw 2 dice, draw and prep 2 dice. Yeah. And the problem was that you didn't always have a bloody sidekick in the right place at the right time. So this global allows you to manipulate your use pile because the die never gets rolled. It doesn't go, well, obviously when it's your opponent's turn, it wouldn't go out of play anyway. But even on your turn, because it doesn't get rolled, it doesn't go out of play. It goes straight to used. So it's a way of getting something into used, a psychic, for example, into use, so that you can then field it with one of those globals, so you could trigger that effect.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And now, now I'm often in a situation where Clayface is at its most efficient if you have a character already in your use path from a previous turn. So you can spend the mask to get an extra energy effectively that turn.
Yeah.
So, yeah, this is a nice way of making sure you have an extra character die in your opponent's, especially the fact that you can do it on your opponent's turn is really strong. It's just an extra bit of churn.
And
actually, really need some churn.
That's too right, we do. And actually, with Clayface being so much more common these days, I mean, I think
everyone had it in the team.
I mean, yeah, like the latest 2-team takedown tournament, which is going on at the moment, there are 32 players, 26 teams. So 32 players have all bought 2 distinct teams with sharing no cards of the same title, but 26 of those teams have Clayface. on them. So there's only six people in the tournament, of which I am one, who doesn't have Clayface on either of their teams, which is just goes to show how popular that is.
You're so cool.
I'm so cool. I know. I know.
Too cool for Clayface.
Exactly.
Are you also too cool for Becky?
Equally, yeah, of course. but I think my point was, with Clayface around, I think this kind of manipulation of your use pile, it becomes ever more important. And sometimes, you know, when you can find yourself in a situation where on sort of turn two, if you've been using Clayface, you might have fewer than five dice in your used pile, so you don't necessarily want to use a straightforward prep global, because obviously you're going to then end with an awkward number of dice. So I think this will help give you a bit more flexibility there, which is
indeed
nice. Cool. All right. Really good.
Well, love it.
That is back, and we hope that's. We hope that we are also back as well, and we hope this recording is all going to be come together fine. We will find out when James gets to the editing suite that is no doubt buried in his basement. But
editing chair.
Did we have any AOB that we wanted to mention? I'm not sure that we did. Did we this time around?
Play and dice fight.
No. Okay, Games Expo tournament. I suppose we should mention.
There is.
Yeah, there's a tournament at UK Games Expo, will have the Hellfire Gala OP kit, and I'll be there. So,
exciting times. When is it, Ben? When is it? Give us the details.
It's at UK Games Expo, which is the first weekend of June.
Yes.
So I want the exact dates, I don't know. It's on the Saturday anyway, so I think that's
it is.
Something of June.
I think it might be the 4th.
That sounds right-ish.
Or maybe the 3rd, but it's the Saturday.
It's the 4th, yes.
Okay. Saturday the 4th. It's being run by Chris and Andy over at the Ministry of Dice. They often do a dice event at the UK Games Expo. So if you're going there for some gaming goodness, if you're a UK-based player, or indeed if you're travelling from further afield, no doubt this will be on your radar. But yeah, do take part in that. It's going to be a straight-up modern tournament. Sadly, we don't have the Dark Phoenix expansion yet legal in this part of the world, so it will be the kind of old modern rather modern, but they're also promising some Dark Phoenix draft action, because I think they've managed to get some kind of maybe we can say advanced stock, even though it hasn't arrived to the rest of the UK yet, but there is going to be that. So if you want the chance to take part in that, which no doubt Ben does, I certainly do, but sadly I can't be there, but that sounds like it's going to be very exciting, so do get involved with
I'll be there, and if my last preview draft is anything to go by, I'll pass you something incredibly good. I passed the rest Spider-Man last time, so
yeah, that was pretty cool. I think maybe you've had a chance to think about these cards a little bit more than you had those previous ones, though, eh?
That's true, a little bit. I'm still going to take a super rare first and foremost, so
you're Master Mold could be coming. Super Rare Master Mold could be coming to the person
on your
left. I'll
take Super Rare Master Mold and not play it.
Very good. All right, well, thank you for being with us. If you have any feedback on any of the things that we've talked about, if you want to look at these spoilers that we've been talking about, or indeed any of the others, there's a massive gallery on the DM United website. You just need to go to the link. James, I think we'll put a link in the show notes to find our spoiler gallery if you want to feast your eyes on literally dozens of Kryptonite Crisis cards, then go and have a look there. If you've enjoyed the episode, then do remember to like, review and subscribe using your favorite podcast app so that you will be the first to know when a new episode drops. If you want to get in touch, give us any feedback on anything we talked about in this or any other episode, then James, the best email address to use is
hello@dmunited.eu.
So that is the end of a slightly abbreviated episode. Apologies that we've been a bit late. Hope with this it does end up actually being an episode. And we will see you next time. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.